Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Groch, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature an interview with Michael Tobin, the CEO of Content 8 Technologies, a company that serves the gaming industry by storing the immense amount of data needed for iGaming, esports, and sports betting. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by Questback, the smart choice for the gaming industry's workforce requirements. In an era of rampant corporate misconduct, organizations need to leverage their most valuable asset, their people. Questback specializes in fostering that dialogue, delivering invaluable insight to organizations around the world on the most challenging governance, risk, and compliance initiatives. Whether it's internal misconduct reporting and workplace response, or organizational cultural development and leadership assessments, Questback delivers the invaluable insight that drives exceptional organizations. To learn more, visit questback.com. With the dawn of sports betting in the United States, the need for reliable data has increased exponentially for gaming companies. Not only must the data be safe, but it must be accessible quickly. Content 8 has been serving the industry since the dawn of iGaming in the early 2000s. Michael Tobin, the CEO of the company, explains how the data is gathered and stored, how it is protected, and why a new data center in Atlantic City for Content 8 will soon become an important cog in the wheel of U.S. sports betting and esports. He spoke with me at G2E in Las Vegas in October. Michael Tobin, thanks for joining us on the GGP Podcast. Here we are on the first day of G2E in Las Vegas, and it's already crazy, but we're glad you could join us.
Thank you, Roger. I'm glad to be here.
So let's start with a little background on Content 8. You're all about data. You know, you work with the gaming industry. You store their data, keep it secure, and let us know what exactly you do and what other services you provide.
Well, data is obviously one thing that we do.
Right.
We do safely store people's data, but more importantly, where we store the data has been critical over the past 20 years. We mm-hmm. started 20 years ago, literally at the dawn of the internet gambling age. And where we combined a good technical offering, mm-hmm. co-locating early licensees in jurisdictions around the world, where we're now, 20 years later, in well over 30 jurisdictions mm-hmm. In locations around the world, hosting people in their own infrastructure, mm-hmm. in cloud infrastructure that we have.
Sure.
That complements the public cloud infrastructure that are out there. I think probably one of our biggest characteristics that people know us as a utility company, that they don't need to worry about the whole IT aspect of dealing with the plumbing of mm-hmm. where their data is, how it flows between different jurisdictions that they're in, compliance mm-hmm. with regulators.
Right.
We have great relations not only with our customers, the gaming companies, and ancillary suppliers to those gaming companies, the payment processors, marketing companies. Mm-hmm. But we also have a really good reputation with the regulators. As an example, we're the only network and data center company that's licensed by mm-hmm. the state of New Jersey's Division of Gaming Enforcement. Mm-hmm. So you can literally host with us in New Jersey and not be in a casino.
Right.
And to that end, right now we're undertaking building, and it'll be open within the next 5 months, a major data center in Atlantic City.
Well, that's a great opportunity. I know that that has been kind of a little hurdle that New Jersey has had to get over with creating compacts with other states, because there's a regulation in New Jersey that the server has to be in Atlantic City. So that's a solution for New Jersey, at least.
A solution for New Jersey from a regulatory point of view, mm-hmm. or it's focusing on becoming a hub.
Right.
They have a very sophisticated and advanced and experienced regulating body, the Division of Gaming Enforcement. Right. What it also does is allow clients to feel very comfortable that now they can be in a Tier 3 data center independently operated by a licensed mm-hmm. technology provider, as opposed to being in a casino property,
right,
where they may have a commercial relationship with them,
right, exactly.
So it's not independent,
right,
where despite the best efforts of a casino property, their core business is not running a data center,
sure,
running a network, protecting the network, mm-hmm, protecting the data, having cybersecurity protection.
Right.
We're a utility company, so that the casino, the new licensee in online gaming, be it casino gaming, be it sports betting, mm-hmm, can say, you know what, I walk in the room, I turn the lights on, the electric company, the utility company, Continent 8, takes care of our needs, not only in New Jersey,
right,
but as they reach out to other states and as other states regulate,
right,
we're in other states as well right now.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think the thing that really has spurred this has been the legalization of sports betting, obviously. Mm. So, you know, the data necessary for sports betting, you know, it must be incredible. There must be billions of pieces of data. So how do you help a casino and sports books to really organize this data and make it readily accessible?
Not only for the companies, mm-hmm, but the company's requirement for the data for internal purposes is one thing, but for
right,
compliance purposes is another. It's one of the big issues that people always have.
Right.
When you regulate anything related to gambling, before it was easy when you just had bricks and mortars.
Sure.
But when you have the world of the internet, the ether that data mm-hmm exists in, you need to have some independent fiduciary
right
that says, okay, before we would say, okay, that box includes a certain amount of data, so we as a gaming regulator want to see what's in there. Mm-hmm. We can shut that box off if
right
we have a problem with you. Now, a company like ourselves is capable of being independently accepted by both the gaming operators and the regulators, mm-hmm, to say, okay, they know where our data flows, they know where it's stored, whether it's in a cloud, whether it's on a box in a particular location. So we work closely with both the regulators and the customers to fulfill both of their needs.
Yeah, no question about that.
Let's talk about the sponsor for this episode. Questback works with clients around the world, including one-third of the Forbes list. Questback powers transformative organizations through the power of feedback-driven insights. Sexual harassment, whistleblowing, gender pay discrimination, conflicts of interest, corruption. In an era of rampant corporate misconduct and heightened public scrutiny, organizations must leverage their most valuable asset, their people. When do they see that on a daily basis? What are issues or risks in the front lines? Do your employees understand corporate policies? What are your organizational risks on the ground floor? Questback specializes in fostering that dialogue. Visit their website at questback.com to learn more about Questback's solutions for internal misconduct reporting, whistleblowing, governance, and compliance initiatives.
So let's talk about the Atlantic City Center then. Mm-hmm. I read someplace you're going to put it in the convention center in Boardwalk Hall, actually.
Well, it started off the state authority, the Casino Redevelopment Authority.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a state authority in
right
New Jersey, which is there to enhance economic development
right
in opportunities the right mm-hmm from the presence of the casino industry, the gaming industry in Atlantic City. As you said before, in New Jersey, constitutionally, you have to, gaming only takes place in Atlantic City
right
proper.
Right.
So any gaming facility has to be licensed, casinos, and mm-hmm now us in
right
our data center, where gaming takes place inside a box, inside
right
a server, has to be in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity for, as I said earlier, for the online gaming companies to be now reliant on a Tier 3 data center in
right
Atlantic City, properly networked, properly protected. So our gaming customer is very comfortable with that. The casino properties will be hooked up to our central location. Why the convention center? Convention center is 1.5 million square feet.
Right.
That's underutilized.
Mm-hmm.
It's a public property.
Right.
So this is a public-private partnership effectively,
mm-hmm,
where we're leasing space from the convention center, not Boardwalk Hall, even
okay
though that's one of it. We looked at Boardwalk Hall
right
at first.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be connected to Boardwalk Hall
yeah
with our fiber.
Sure.
So events can be live streamed from
mm-hmm
Boardwalk Hall, be it an esports event,
right, right,
be it a poker tournament,
sure,
who,
right,
who knows what. But the big convention center is the new one that was built
okay right
10 years ago, the, right. the railroad station
right.
is
yep.
there.
By the railroad station, yes.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
It's right at the very heart of Atlantic City with fiber coming into it and a very robust electrical infrastructure.
Right.
So that's where we're building the data center. We'll then connect any casino property that wants mm-hmm. to be connected to what will then be the central hub for communications
okay.
in Atlantic City
right.
on, from an internet point of
sure.
view. So it gives customers, gives casinos, it gives the Atlantic City region properly a major, major internet
mm-hmm.
hub
right.
that would not normally have been built in Atlantic City
sure. right.
If it hadn't been for the catalyst of gaming and the
right.
regulations
mm-hmm.
that are there. So it's an economic development
mm-hmm.
investment
right.
that's going to have spin-offs well beyond gaming.
Right.
But so we've finalized the lease terms and are now in the end of preparing our construction drawings.
Mm-hmm.
We've already got our design. As
right.
I said, we were in over 30 locations around the world. We've built data centers
sure, right.
before in unique locations. So our design's done. We're getting construction drawings
mm-hmm.
done. We'll probably go to bid in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be opening up in the first quarter of 2019.
Okay, great.
In the interim, we have space in... we're occupying space in Caesar's mm-hmm. data room in
right.
their one of their locations, and also in the new Ocean Resorts casino. We're in there as
okay.
well, and they'll be hooked up eventually to our
great.
Central.
So, what does this do for other iGaming companies or casinos around the world that want to, does this give them comfort that you're in a regulated environment that somebody is you know overseeing everything?
Yes, and I think that's what New Jersey is. It's mm-hmm. it's the with all due respect to Nevada,
right.
New Jersey has a larger population.
Mm-hmm.
It's sitting in the heart of the East Coast.
Right.
Anybody that's coming to the United States as a new entrant to the marketplace
mm-hmm.
here, particularly from outside of the United
right.
States, is going to go get a New Jersey license.
Right.
So you're going to have to deal with the Division of Gaming Enforcement,
sure.
who are very forward-thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at a project that we're discussing with them to create a regulated cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talks
sure.
about the cloud,
right.
which is a bit of a marketing
right.
Term, but we will have a cloud
right.
product that
uh-huh.
you can be in, accepted by the licensing body,
right.
that you can have a hub in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
You can then have tentacles, spokes out of that hub
right.
into other states. We're already in Pennsylvania,
sure.
West Virginia,
mm-hmm.
Mississippi.
Right.
And we have plans for any upcoming state that's Ohio, New York.
Right.
And Nevada will be opening here
right. mm-hmm. okay.
within the next month or
right.
two.
But in terms of compliance, you know, if you get a license in New Jersey and New Jersey is overseeing, you know, your entire operations, the people who are getting into the industry will be comfortable with that.
Right.
Especially in any other state where they're trying to get licensed as well.
Exactly. And then New Jersey in its jurisdictional role is entering into compacts with other jurisdictions.
Sure.
A lot of new jurisdictions
mm-hmm.
will feel very comfortable dealing with the regulations that New Jersey implements.
Mm-hmm.
And those, I think, bilateral agreements are going to become more common
sure, right.
as we go forward.
Right. So, you know, we were talking about the type of data and how extensive it is. I mean, we're talking about, you know, secured identifications of the customers, geolocation, payment schedules, you know, the history of the player,
mm-hmm.
things like that. How do you keep them in such a way that they can be accessed quickly, you know, if needed, you know, by the actual companies or by regulators?
We don't actually have the responsibility to do anything more than say, here's the box of information.
Okay, right.
Here's your, I'm using an example. Here's a shoebox with all our receipts. All
okay,
our,
right.
We don't know what's in the box.
Right.
In fact, we can't access taking
okay.
the lid off the box.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the box is stored in
our
infrastructure.
Right.
There's another level of service that at some point in time I can see us becoming more involved with contracting with clients
right.
to manage at a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
But our principal, we're the people that will build the highways and build the fuel stops or the
right.
The shopping centers
mm-hmm.
at key intersections along
right.
the interstate highway.
Mm-hmm.
So we've created the interstate highway for private
right.
toll roads, effectively,
right.
between high-end fashion shopping centers around the world.
Sure.
So you were not out trying to be Walmart or Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
We're the boutique provider of locations where, as you're asking about data, you know that's a depository. Mm-hmm. It's almost a Fort Knox, effectively,
sure, right,
for where the data is located, so that if anybody needs to get at mm-hmm. it securely, you know where it is,
right,
and you know how to get at it.
But in terms of accessing it, they'll have their own system.
Oh, yeah, that's their own. Everybody has it.
Okay. Yeah. And you, all your servers work together with those systems.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we'll have access to the data flow.
Sure, right.
What's in the envelope, mm-hmm. we don't necessarily know, but
right,
who's sending the envelope, what could be in the envelope, mm-hmm. whether it's financial transactions, whether it's customer data related to profiling, that's not for us, but
right,
we certainly know what's in the packets that are being sent around,
sure,
and they're being sent around privately and securely.
Okay. So you mentioned some of the huge data companies like we have Switch here in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
which is a gigantic operation. Do you interact with them at all?
Well, when I mentioned we'll be in Nevada,
mm-hmm.
We'll be putting racks in to Switch and connecting them. There's no reason that we would build something to compete with the Switch.
Sure.
The Switch is like a massive
operation,
but at the same time, a Switch wouldn't build a data center inside the Rock of Gibraltar like we have.
Right, right.
So it's we complement.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So what happens is that you can be an international gaming company licensed in Gibraltar with all of your infrastructure in Gibraltar, but all of a sudden be connected directly on a private highway
mm-hmm.
to your infrastructure that we maintain in the Switch.
Right.
So the Switch's business is not networking so much.
Sure.
It's operating this big, mega, big box store.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are, as I said, a boutique. So we'd be a boutique inside a large shopping mall.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned you have data centers all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at it, and it's a pretty impressive spread of the world.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of advantage does that give to your company as opposed to somebody else?
Basically, it allows you to deal with a single supplier who's mm-hmm. familiar not only with the infrastructure requirements,
mm-hmm.
but also the regulatory requirements. And you come to us, and most of our customers occupy, well more than one location,
right,
either for backup purposes, for regulatory purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can effectively, as a customer, say, I need to be in New Jersey.
Right.
But, all of a sudden, I want to be in Nevada.
Right.
Or I'm going to do a Latin American expansion, which is not on our current information, but we'll be expanding into Latin America and
mm-hmm.
Africa in the next 12 months. So we'll literally have all five continents,
mm-hmm.
Seven continents, except Antarctica.
Six of the seven, then.
Yeah. When I came up with continent eight, someone said to me, there's only five continents.
Right.
I said, well, I screwed up there. Because the idea was to have the world of the internet,
of course,
the eighth continent.
Right, the eighth continent.
And so it was a moment of terror. I said, geez, did I not listen in social studies class in grade six?
Right, exactly right. So, what are your goals here at G2E and 2019 moving forward?
G2E is, as you know, is the place for any gaming initiative to be, old or new, to come mm-hmm. and brand themselves, get relationships developed. We thought it was very important because of sports betting that life has taken a new level of energy here in the United States because of that. We've been here at GT every
mm-hmm.
year, but more just meetings and so to take a booth, we're a lot of traffic will go by us.
Sure.
We have a lot of meetings set up, as you can
mm-hmm.
imagine, with customers,
right,
new people, and they look to us as almost not just a supplier of a particular service, but because everything's so new, because of we've been in the business for 20 years, we're not a gaming company,
mm-hmm.
we're a provider to all the gaming companies, so we know everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So they almost come to us as their father confessor and say, "Okay, who do we talk to? Who do we talk to?" So we're a trusted advisor. And as far as where do you go, how do you do it beyond just what we offer?
Right.
So there's lots of meetings that we have scheduled and that will be serendipitous.
So you almost have to educate a lot of the folks here because, nobody's really thought about this until now,
including regulators and legislators and policymakers.
Right.
We don't have a an agenda where we're going to be targeted as, okay, you guys are operating a gaming company and going to be paying us taxes.
Right.
We're the infrastructure company that they can independently go to and say, who are these guys? Are they good? What's your experience with them? So we're in a good position to be really truly advisors to regulators and the companies that are going to be licensed and operating.
Okay, great. Oh, just one more question, and this is a recent announcement you guys had about a partnership with PointsBet. Explain who PointsBet and what the partnership entails.
Well, partnership is a broad term. They're a customer. Okay. They're a new Australian-based entrepreneurial organization who have come to the U.S., landed here, chose New Jersey as a site for their licensing, and they'll be expanding beyond that. It's an example of someone that, you know, knew if you're coming to a location like the United States, who's the best of breed to deal with.
Right, yeah.
They went to New Jersey, then they came to us. So we have actually created a cloud infrastructure for them in New Jersey. They'll be in our data center there. And as I said, they're, I think, an example of why a lot of non-American groups who have been experienced in other jurisdictions are saying there's an opportunity here.
Sure, right.
So we're excited about having that sort of company with us because our history has been, as I said, we've been in the business for 20 years. We were the feeding ground and the base for a lot of the big names in internet gambling over the last 20 years that started with us. We grew because our customers grew. Mm-hmm. So PointsBet, we're hoping, will be one of the – will be history repeating itself, will grow. But at the same time, we have their competitors with us and we serve everybody impartially.
Well, I could ask a dozen more questions, but I know it's busy here at G2E. You guys have meetings. Next time we get together, I do want to talk about some of the cloud-based stuff because that's a really interesting aspect of this storage situation as well, and also how the regulators are going to approach that. I think that's an important issue too, but we'll save that for next time.
Great. I look forward to talking again.
Great. Well, thanks for the time, Michael. Great to see you.
You too, Robert.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the GGB Podcast brought to you by QuestBack. To learn more about the services provided by this company, visit QuestBack.com. To learn more about the spread of sports betting and esports in the U.S., visit GGBMagazine.com. For weekly updates on all the news of the gaming industry, visit GGBNews.com. And to find the best bonuses and promotion for iGaming and how to attract more players to your legal iGaming site, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz and on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. And don't forget to sign up for the UNLV Gaming and Hospitality Education Series for the December 13th edition, which features two episodes in one, player development and payment processing. Hear the most experienced and respected experts talk about these hot topics. Sign up to attend the event at UNLV's Stan Fulton Building, stream it online, or register to listen to the session at any time. To sign up, visit unlvghes.com. And thanks for listening to the GGB Podcast, and we'll see you next week.